For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today with my friend, Arlita Winston. I've had her on twice before. I hope that some of you heard her. And I want to tell you that if you have seen my book, Love Has a Price Tag, and have read the chapter in there called Five Kids and Peace, you will be hearing today from the lady who reared that wonderful family. That was an account of a short weekend visit that I made in the Winston home in Moorestown, New Jersey. They now live in Riverton. Her husband, Joe, is a physician. And Arlita's family is grown up now. The youngest is in college. She's the mother of five, the grandmother of five, and a very close friend of mine, a very dear friend, and one at whose feet I have sat many times listening to her wisdom. So I'm delighted that she's able to be with us today in the studio. The last time she was here, we talked about personal discipline. We have so little time in these programs, and of course, as soon as we went off the air, she thought of a dozen things that she wished she could have talked about. But she gave us some good hints on spiritual discipline, her own quiet time, her prayer life, and just a little taste of some of the physical disciplines, things like getting up on time and getting her day in order. But today, I want to talk about the discipline of children. Welcome to the studio, Arlita, to Gateway to Joy.
Thank you, Betty.
I'm so glad you could be with us. And I know your wonderful children. Now, I want to say, how did you do it? We talked about the example that you and Joe tried to set for your children. I think of you as a thoroughly feminine woman. I think of Joe as a thoroughly masculine man. So wouldn't you say that the most important thing about the discipline of children is setting an example?
Yes, and very often you have to learn just one step ahead of your children.
What sort of things do you have to learn? I mean, you are aiming for an ordered home, and you were telling us how you yourself had a hard time getting up in the morning, and you realized that in order to order your day, you had to put your feet on the floor when the alarm clock went off.
Well, they have to see us acting out before they're able to follow. That's for certain.
And they saw the respect that their father showed for their mother, and so they respect mm-hmm. each other. You talked mm-hmm. about that the last time. Mm-hmm. One of the things that was very obvious to me when I visited in your home, Arlita, was that the children were not running the show. Now, how did you establish the fact that mother was in charge?
Well, Betty, I think I took that directly from the scriptures where I've been wanting to pattern my family after godly principles. And one thing that I am very sure of from Scripture is that God not only gives the responsibility of children to parents, but He gives them the authority to carry this out. And I have to know that I am in charge of that situation as I'm directing and training and teaching and loving this child. God is going to hold me responsible mm-hmm. completely.
Now, Arlita, you say that it's essential for the mother to be in charge. One of the commonest scenarios that I experience is being in a position to watch mothers with little children mm-hmm. who are not in charge. The mothers are not in charge. We see them in the airports. We see them in supermarkets. I see them in my own home. How did you begin to teach your children that you were in charge?
Well, you start very, very young. When you think of a child up at the coffee table, all right, that's when they're pulling themselves up around maybe 8 months. that's when it has to start. When they start pulling themselves up and reaching towards things, they need to be told which things they can touch and which things they cannot firmly. But consistently, I think that's where the problem comes with young mothers, because it is a constant situation that has to be watched over and over and over again, and not punished all the time, but trained. You don't whip a child on the second time that he's reached for something. You again teach them no firmly. You look into their eyes. You say, you may not touch that. No. And then you have to bodily remove them at that early age. And even, you know, up until 2 years old, sometimes you have to bodily remove them and say no. But that brings to my mind another thing, and that is the raising of your voice. I see so many mothers having to just raise their voice and almost to the point of screaming to get the child to listen.
And does it work?
No, I don't think so. I think when they raise their voice, it shows to the child that they have personally lost self-control.
That the mother has lost self-control.
Mm-hmm. That the lower you keep your voice, the firmer, making it an event. You don't just haphazardly say, no, don't touch that.
Wouldn't it be easier to just child-proof your home? I hear about mothers child-proofing their homes.
Well,
what do you think about that?
I never did mine. I kept all of my things right out.
And you had five children?
Mm-hmm.
And
I
didn't child-proof your home?
No. Now, I did poisons under the kitchen sink. I made sure that poisonous things were put elsewhere. That I definitely did.
Very good idea.
But my pretty things, no, I didn't, because they've got to learn at some point now, don't they?
Do you not have a young mother say to you, oh, you've got the most wonderful children. My kids would never obey like that.
No, I don't think they would if you start when they're 4 years old. It really has to start. Well, now I think of my little granddaughter, Abigail, who's just now a year, but Sarah's recognized for at least 6 months that that child knows when she says no. She knows exactly what Sarah means.
At 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I believe you. I believe that's absolutely true. But don't you think that many young parents today make the great mistake of waiting until they can reason with the child? Is that a good idea?
Oh, I don't think so at all. They understand far more than we give them credit for. Very, very early. And very often, I think they can tell just by the very tone of your voice and your whole physical bearing. If you give them your full attention when you're talking to them about a situation, they realize that this is an important occasion. If you just mouth words into the air and continue talking to somebody else, they're not going to consider it very important. But if you shift all your attention to them at that moment when they're putting the bobby pin into the plug or when they're grabbing the Royal Dalton.
Well, you've given us some very important principles here. You don't raise your voice. You look them straight in the eye. And you must be consistent. You wouldn't tell the child that you're going to spank him if he touches the Royal Dalton, and then not spank him if he touches the Royal Dalton. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely.
And
you must carry
through. That's another
through.
One of these
you
things.
You have to carry through right to the end. It's just like in playing a game of tennis when you serve a ball. You have to follow through. And when you give a command to a child, you must be willing to follow that right through to the end.
What would you do if your child hit you? I've seen that happen.
I would stop everything that I was doing to address that situation. And I would hold the child firmly and gently. And I would look them straight in the eye and say, no, you do not ever, ever, ever do that to Mommy again. Never.
If your husband Joe were in the room when something like that happened, what would happen next?
Well, he certainly would have something to say about it as well. I think depending on the age and whether this was the first time that it happened, I'm sure that a spanking would certainly come soon after if they repeated it.
you and your husband were able to agree pretty much on the methods of discipline?
Yes, we talked about it a lot. When we didn't agree, we tried to work it out. I might say at this point that these all may seem simplistic, but I did a lot of creative praying when I was bringing up the children. I would just send up that help so many times and saying, God, what do I do in this situation?
Well, I can't think of anything more important than prayer. And isn't it tantalizing that we don't have more time, Arlita? I've been talking with Arlita Winston, a close friend of mine who is the mother of five grown children. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Betty.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.